Today is Thursday, June 7th, 2018. We're going to hear Moshe Soloveitchik Shir on Parshas Shelach.
Ladies
and gentlemen.
First of all, thank you very much for coming, everybody. And in case you don't know it, we're Fleshik. We're going to be davening Marav a few minutes after the class with Reb Soloveitchik. I want to thank Young Israel, Rabbi Berger, for the hospitableness that they have shown us over all these years, for allowing us to have this wonderful class here. I appreciate those that helped us set up and get the class ready for us, make it nice and clean for us, even bring ice and drinks for us. I want to thank that person very much because we really needed it. If you'll please take your cell phones and silence them at this point, sincerely, I would appreciate it. I'll do my own as well. I just want to mention something that I don't know if I mentioned before. I don't remember. I don't think I did, but it's possible. Anyway, I will. My wife, my lovely wife Lynn, and I are dedicating a Torah on Father's Day. And we were going to be taking it. We're completing it at our home, just a block west of the synagogue, DNG. And then we're going to march it to the shul, and we're going to celebrate the writing of the Torah. And we're going to have a brunch, something to eat at the shul. Milchiks, not fleishiks. So I just, Lynn and I wanted to just mention that you're all welcome, and it would be a pleasure, and it would be nice to see you there at the simcha. So I just wanted to mention it to you in case you did not know. And your motion. June 7th. 11 o'clock, June 17th. And we'll be done by 1:30, 2 o'clock. So you could be with your families and, you know, make arrangements for dinners and things like that, or late lunches, whatever. So that's basically what I wanted to mention to all of you. Rav Moshe?
Okay.
By the way, the Torah was written in memory and dedicated to the memory of my dear mother and my father and my wonderful brother, Bert. Lewis and Sarah Cherney and Bert.
All right. This week's Sedra, Parsha Shlach, talks about the 12 spies who spied out, scouted out the lands of Israel, actually at that time the land of Canaan. They were sent by Moshe. And 10 of the spies came back with a report that, yes, it's true, the land, from an agricultural perspective, is a very good land, but unfortunately, we stand no chance of capturing the land. And as a result of that report, they led the Jewish people into a rebellion, the result of which was that the Jewish people had to traverse the Midbar for a period of 40 years instead of immediately entering Eretz Yisrael at that point. But there were two exceptions among the spies. One was Kaleb ben Yefune, and the other was Yehoshua ben Nun. And the Medrash, I guess, was somewhat intrigued. How did these two overcome the influence of the other ten? And the Medrash says, on the basis of the Pasuk in this week's Sedra, that Moshe gave a special bracha to Yehoshua. Because Vayikra, Moshe, Yehoshua's name originally was Hoshea ben Nun, and Moshe added a yud to his name, and the name became Yehoshua ben Nun. Kalev, on the other hand, how did he overcome the influence? He overcame the influence by going to Hebron and, in a sense, praying there, even bowing down to God there. And that's how Hebron, by the Moris HaMachpelah, at the grave site, the cave where the Avos, where the patriarchs are buried, and that's how he overcame that influence. Now, I'm interested in explaining the idea behind it. First, I'll say, because what I'm going to say is based, although it's not exactly the same thing, is based on something my father said. So I would like to explain what my father said. My father said, what was the significance of adding a yud to Yehoshua's name? So my father said, when is a yud added? Except, of course, there it's at the end. A yud represents personal possession. You know, it's a book is called a sefer in Hebrew. Reminds me of my Aleph Beis book in the first grade. But then, if it's my book, it's sifri. It's my book. Sefer is a book. Sifri, if you add a yud to it, it's indicative of personal ownership. I own it. It is my book. So yud represents being the idea of being, this is how my father explained it, being in possession of oneself. Many of us are not in possession of ourselves. Other people control us. Some of us are just a person. We're not our person. Sometimes we're somebody else's person. Yud represents, my father said, Yehoshua was a dependent personality. Yehoshua was always in the tent of Moshe. My father didn't give this proof, but you see it. Yehoshua can't deal with Yehoshua cannot deal with what Eldar Umeidot said. Moshe Meis, Moshe's going to die. The Yehoshua Machnes Yisrael Lawrence. And how is it possible? Yehoshua had this dependent personality. And what very often happens when a dependent personality leaves the person in whom he is dependent on, he just gets another person to fulfill that role. He doesn't really change himself. He doesn't really change himself. So this was the adding of a yud to Yehoshua's name. Now Yehoshua was leaving Moshe. Now Yehoshua is going to be together with the other leaders. Someone called me today from Israel, and they asked me a question. He says, it seems that Moshe knew what was going to happen. He gave him a bracha. He gave him a blessing that God should help him from the advice, not the advice, from the plan of the spies. I said, it doesn't mean that. It means that Moshe was aware of that possibility. And he was specifically concerned about Yehoshua because he knew that Yehoshua had this as a result of being in the tent of Moshe, this sense of dependency. And he was scared that he will come when he's not with Moshe. 40 days without Moshe, he will come under the influence of the Meraglim. That's what it means. Kyo Yoshiacha Miatzas Meraglim. That Yud, the bracha was one of independence. Being able to stand up. Not to have that need. That's how my father went. And then my father said, Kolev, on the contrary, Kolev had a very independent personality. He had a very independent personality. And Kolev, on the contrary, he had to, in a sense, go to the Kivrei Avos to the idea of identifying with the Avos, just the reverse in overcoming the influence of the Meraglim. The Meraglim, the spies, they did not want to identify with the patriarchs. They didn't want this sense of dependency. So from that perspective, Kolev might have fallen prey to their actions. Because of that, he went to Kivrei Avos. He went to the grave of the patriarch.
To strengthen himself.
Yeah, that's.
To strengthen himself.
To strengthen himself. In other words, each one went to strengthen the area where they were not as strong as the other area. Okay, that's how my father explained it. However, I want to explain it a little different. I want to explain it along the lines I've explained throughout the years, many things. I tell you, there are certain thoughts that I say that are restricted to the Sedra of that week. And there's certain ideas and certain thoughts that I've said that, is in this Sedra and is in that Sedra. And this thought that probably I've used in more Sedras than any other thought. You know that Shlomo HaMelech wrote three books. Mishlei, Kehelis, and Shir HaShirim. And in Mishlei, he identifies himself as Mishlei, the son of David. In Kehelis, he identifies himself as Kehelis, the son of David. In Shir HaShirim, he forgets all about his father. Shir HaShirim Asher L'Shlomo. The Shir HaShirim that's for Shlomo. So how are we to understand it? Rashi asked the question. I didn't think of the question. Rashi asked the question. Rashi gives a very strange answer. different than the answer that I've given. That's not the reason it's strange, but we have to understand Rashi's answer. Rashi's answer is that Shlomo should be understood as Shir Hashirim Asher Lamelech Asher Shahasholom Shalo, that peace is his. Shlomo should be understood. In other words, God. It has reference to God. Actually, that it has reference to God. What does that mean? What's going on here? How does that answer the question? Okay, so let me tell you my answer to the question. And I've said it many times. Yaakov Avinu, when he leaves his father's house, he's chased out because of Esav. Esav wants to kill him. He's looking for a wife, whatever it is. So he has this dream. And in this dream, he sees a sulam mutzavartza. He sees a ladder that stands firmly on the ground, Verosha Magia Shemaima, and its head reaches heaven. Malachi Elohim Olim V'yardim. And God appears to him in the dream, and God said, I am the God of your father Abraham, the God of Yitzchak. And I will return you, I'll take care of you. And then Yaakov wakes up and he says, Im yiel akim imadi, if God will be with thee, Ushmarani b'derech hazeh asher anochi holeich, and he'll watch over me in this road that I'm going, v'nasan li lechem lechol, he'll give me clothes to wear, food to eat, clothes to wear, v'shafti b'shalom obeisavi, and I return in peace to my father's house. That God will be for me a God. So Rashi already asked the question. Well, Yaakov Avinu is making a deal with God. God, you be good to me, I'll be good to you. But if you're not going to be good to me, forget it, it's over. Yaakov, the Bechir Avos, the chosen one of the patriarchs, tries to make a deal with God. So he says, what I wanted to say is every Jew has a double relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On one hand, we have a relationship with God based on the perception of God in our own lives. And we have a relationship with God based upon the perception of God in the life of our ancestors. We say in Shemoneh Esrei every day, Elokeinu v'Elokei Avoseinu, my God and the God of my ancestors. And we say in the Oz Yashir, Zekeli v'Anveyu, this is my God. This is the personal relationship. V'Anveyu, the Targum says Anveyu comes from the word Nava. I will build for him, Nava is a house. I will build for him a Mikdash. Elokei Avi v'Aromamenu, the God of my fathers, and I will exalt him, I will serve him, whatever it is. Now, what's the idea? The idea is we have a personal relationship with God. It's like Caleb and Baal. And that was the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was the home in which God resides together with the Jewish people. It almost represents the marriage. Har Sinai represents the wedding between God and the Jewish people. The Beis HaMikdash represents the marriage between God and the Jewish people. It represents the love relationship, the personal relationship. But we have a relationship with God based on the perception of God in the life of our ancestors, in the life of our teachers. You know, it's an interesting thing. Some people didn't appreciate that. But when someone became a student of my father's, it wasn't just that my father was very close with his students. I mean, people would stay over in our house, and you know, I remember sometimes we would have some boys from the yeshiva I was still inside my father's in the dining room, and all of us went upstairs to go to sleep, and they stayed downstairs. Anyway, talking to each other, but my father had a strong, but by having a relationship with my father, they had a special relationship with my father's ancestors also. My father was able to convey that idea. They felt a connection. They felt a connection. Today, that's somewhat lacking in yeshivas. After the old Rosh Yeshiva for 10, 15 years, there is a certain connection there. But after 10, 15 years, you know, he's like a book in the library. But certain individuals were unique in that they were able to create connections not only between them and their students, but they were able to connect, to make connections between them, between the students and the person's teacher, the person's ancestors. It was a linkage of generations. So every Jew has a double relationship with God, and in a sense, this is what Yaakov was saying. He said, God appeared to him. He said, "I am the God of your father Abraham and Isaac." So Yaakov said, "Till now, I was in my father's tent, which was the tent of Avraham also. And spiritually, Avraham and Yitzchak dominated the scene within that tent. But now that I am forced to leave my father's tent, I'm going to use that opportunity to strengthen my personal relationship with God. In a love relationship." What is important in a love relationship? Well, of course, the special events, you want to call it the anniversaries and all that stuff, the trips, I don't know, the 25th anniversary, the 10th anniversary. It used to be some kind of thing printed, what are you supposed to buy on the 5th anniversary, what are you supposed to buy on the 6th anniversary, the 25th anniversary. I don't know. Anyway, whatever it is. So some people really, when you ask them about their marriage, they'll tell you about the anniversaries. Some won't even tell you about that. Anyway, Mother's Day. That's when you go to see your mother. You know, you forget her about the rest of the... Or you forget about her the rest... Okay, Father's Day. Anyway, so... Jerry's there. Anyway, people want to know why Jerry did say the Torah dedicated Father's Day. No, it's because of me, actually. Anyway, so... But the... they dominated the scene. But Yaakov said, "I'll use this opportunity to strengthen my personal." What's the personal relationship? The personal relationship is. Person, which says the main part of person is taking notice of the things that everybody takes for granted. Let's say, lechem lechol, the food I eat. Yeah, you can recognize the anniversary. But what about the food that you get every day? The clothes that one wears. Who washes the clothes? Lech, the beged lulbosh. things that are everyday people take for granted. V'shafti b'shoa beis avi, return to my father's home. Things that are normally taken for granted. That's where you have the true love relationship. In noticing the things that are normally taken for granted. V'haya Hashem li le'elokim. It won't be just the God of my ancestors. It'll be my God. There'll be a personal relationship. And in a sense, I think that this, now, when we talk, we say, Kehelas, Shmuel almost called Kehelas ben David, Kehelas the son of David. What is the if you had to sum up Kehelas in one pasuk, Sof Davar HaKol Nishma, the end of everything, Es Elokim Yirei Ves Mitzvos of Shmuel. Fear of God. Fear of God is something that's given over from father to son, from teacher to student. Yaakov Avinu, Jacob, refers to God as Pachad of Yitzchak, the fear of my father Isaac. So there he's Kehelas ben David, he's the son of David. Mishlei, Divrei Mishlei ben David, Rashi says, Tochacha, Musar, chastising, ethics. Maseches Avos, the tractate of our fathers. What is that? Ethics. The English translation, ethics of the fathers. Maseches Avos. And then, Shema b'ni Musar Avicha. Remember the Musar. The chastising, whatever you want to call Musar. Musar is a different word to translate. Of your father. That represents the relationship between father and son, between teacher and student. But, Shir Hashirim, that's the love relationship. That's the personal relationship. Shir Hashirim Asher L'Shlomo. There's no place for David. It's a personal relationship. It's just God and Shlomo. And that's the idea. Misha HaSholem Shalo. The same word that has reference to Shlomo has reference to God. There is a oneness between God and Shlomo. That's the personal relationship. And I think that to a certain degree, this is what the difference between Kalev's approach. Now Yoshua, so Kyo Yoshiacha Miatzas Meratim. I want to explain it a little differently than my father. It had the Yud. So two letters are there. There's a Yud there, and there's a Hey there, right at the beginning, which is also the name of God. So, in a sense, Yoshua and God become one. Till that time, Yoshua's connection with God was only through Moshe. Yoshua couldn't imagine an independent relationship with God, a personal relationship. The whole relationship that he could have with God is through Moshe. That's why there was trouble with Eldad Umeidad. Eldad Umeidad, Misnavim Bamachne, was, Rashi points out, that when they received Nevuah, prophecy, it wasn't through Moshe. And there's a whole tumult about it. Gershon, the son of Moshe, and Yoshua, they had trouble. And they said, Adoni Moshe Klein, because they said that Moshe Mace, Moshe's going to die. Yeshua Machnas Yisrael Loretz, how is it possible? Yoshua didn't understand, how is it possible for Moshe to die and he should take the Jewish people into the land of Israel? just couldn't even think about it. It's obvious that something had to happen. But we don't think about it. We don't want to think about it. So this is the idea. The adding of the Yud puts God's name in Yehoshua's name. Yehoshua and God become one. There is a personal relationship between Yehoshua and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in addition to the intensive relationship that Yehoshua had by seeing God in the life of Moshe Rabbeinu. He had both relationships. And we could suggest that Kalev, on the contrary, Kalev, you see, is an independent personality, as my father said. But what did he, because of that, especially when we deal with Eretz Yisrael is a land that we inherit from our ancestors, but it's still the land of God. So Kalev had to go, went to Kivrei Avos. That's how he protected himself, by identifying with the ancestors. He went to Hebron, and this was the way that he was able to overcome that influence. And the truth of the matter is that Eretz Yisrael represents, on one hand, identification with the Avos. On the other hand, Eretz Yisrael is also the place where we have this personal relationship with God. And I've mentioned many times lately, this only lately, the significance of, in other words, from the perspective of Eretz Yisrael being the land of the ancestors, Yerushalayim is not special. In other words, from the Ramban and Chumash it appears, it follows, it doesn't appear. From the Ramban and Chumash it follows that the Ramban says that the person could pressure his spouse, Gemara and Ksuvos, could pressure his spouse to move to Eretz Yisrael. Now the same Gemara and Ksuvos mentions you could pressure your spouse to move to Yerushalayim. And the Ramban and Chumash says you can pressure your spouse to move to Eretz Yisrael because of the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael. So the question is, well, why should you, then why is it you can pressure your spouse to move to Yerushalayim? But the answer is, to a certain degree, Yerushalayim is more Eretz Yisrael than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. How is Yerushalayim, from the perspective of being the land of the ancestors, there's no difference between Yerushalayim and Hebron and Tzvas and whatever. It's all the same. But Eretz Yisrael is also the place where we have a personal relationship with God. And from that perspective, Yerushalayim stands out. So that's why. So the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, the mitzvah of living in Eretz Yisrael, has a double element. It's on one hand to go to Eretz Yisrael, to the land of our ancestors, and in a sense to experience God's presence in the life of our ancestors. But Eretz Yisrael has another significance, the mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, and that is for us to have our personal relationship with God. And from that perspective, Yerushalayim stands above the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So this is, Kalev had to work on Eretz Yisrael as the land of our ancestors. Yehoshua worked on the perspective of Eretz Yisrael being the place where one has a personal relationship with God. And we have to combine those two approaches. On one hand, to recognize Eretz Yisrael as the place where we could have this personal relationship with God. On the other hand, to recognize Eretz Yisrael as the place where we sense most easily sense the presence of God in the life of our ancestors.
Thank you so much. It's great. I want to mention that we're going to be davening Maariv in a few minutes. I want to wish everybody a good Erev Shabbos and a good Shabbos. And please, if you have the time and you're available, please consider the invite for my wife and I for Father's Day for the dedication of Israel.